Hello, and welcome to the Rooted in Reliability podcast, your plant performance podcast, where we dive deeper into asset management techniques and know-how. I'm your host, James Kovacevic, and I will be your guide to achieving industry best practice. The Rooted in Reliability podcast is here to provide you with the insights to improve plant performance and deliver bottom-line results to your organization. In case you missed the last episode, you can find the Rooted in Reliability podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, and on the reliability.fm network. Don't forget to subscribe so you'll never miss an episode. Now let's dive into today's topic. Coming from the 2018 SMRP conference, it is my pleasure to welcome Adrian Messer to the podcast.
Well, thank you, James. It's a pleasure to be here. It's been a great week and looking forward to the conversation here.
Excellent. So Adrian, you're with UE Systems. So what do you do with UE and who is UE Systems?
Yeah, so I'm the manager of U.S. operations. I'm based out of Greenville, South Carolina. And UE Systems has been around for 45 years now. And we manufacture handheld ultrasonic testing instruments for preventive and predictive maintenance of plant reliability type equipment and applications. So condition monitoring of motors, bearings, pumps, gearboxes, compressed air leak detection, electrical inspection, and steam trap inspection.
Excellent. Excellent. So there's a lot of equipment vendors here, you know, selling ultrasound equipment, vibration, precision alignment, you name it, they sell it here, essentially. What is the key thing to being successful with these technologies? Can we just train people and send them out, or do we have to have some sort of structure behind our approach?
Well, one of the fun things about what I do, I have the opportunity to visit a lot of plants, facilities all across the U.S., and a lot of times what I see when I visit these plants, I see it's not a product problem. You know, a lot of plants have vibration, infrared, ultrasound. They have the tools. It's not a people problem, but a lot of times it's a procedure problem. So they don't have the procedures in place that allow for the successful use of the tool.
So they don't have procedures that allow us to what? Use the tool properly to get repeatable readings, consistent results. What do these procedures allow us to do?
Well, a lot of times what I see is I see people that want to throw condition monitoring tools at reactive problems. So, you know, sometimes I get a phone call and they'll say, you know, hey, we had this major failure on this machine. We know we could have found this problem with ultrasound. We need to get some ultrasound. So they invest in the device. We go in and train them, support them, and help them. But then you call, you know, say 6 months down the road and you ask them, you know, hey, how are y'all doing with that ultrasound? And they say, oh, you know, this person or the person we assigned to that task or to use that tool has gotten pulled away. They're doing something else. You know, we're really not using it effectively anymore. So again, they're trying to throw condition monitoring tools at reactive problems. So, you know, maybe they're not doing root cause analysis on why they're having these same failures over and over and over. But then part of that lies in, you know, they didn't think about, you know, what procedures they need to have in place that, yeah, maybe they invested in ultrasound and they had some kind of quick wins. But then what detail or what program are we going to have in place that will use that tool in the future?
Okay. So procedures are a key component of that. How do we really start getting these procedures in place? You know, how do we get people to start using them? How do we write these things? Where do we start?
Well, I think what I like to recommend to people is, you know, think about what's currently eating your lunch. You know, what's currently your problem, children, when it comes to the failures that you're currently having. Also, a good place to start is asset criticality. So understanding the assets that are the most critical to your process, to your plant, your facility. Understanding the failure modes, how that equipment can fail, and then what technology you can deploy that will find that fault or failure as early as you want it to. So I think a good rule of thumb is if you're not currently doing any kind of condition monitoring, you know, again, based off asset criticality, you know, start with the top, say, 20 or 25% of the most critical assets, and then understanding how that equipment can fail, and then deploying the technology that will find those failures that you're looking for. So again, just start with the most critical assets or start with equipment where you're having continual problems.
Okay, excellent. So we've selected our key or critical equipment. We're going to start monitoring the condition of. What do we do next?
Yep. So another key thing to think about in the deployment of condition monitoring tools is to think about the people. So selecting the right personnel who will champion and take ownership of that condition monitoring tool, whether it be ultrasound or any other CBM tool. Make sure they're properly trained. Make sure they've been given clear instructions as to why this tool is important to their job and how this tool is going to help to improve overall reliability of the equipment. I was at a conference speaking on condition-based bearing lubrication just a few weeks ago, and there was a gentleman on the front row, and he spoke up, and he didn't have anything good to say about the people that were responsible for lubricating that equipment. He didn't, you know, regarding skill level, regarding knowledge of the equipment, just basic knowledge of lubrication in general. And so I stood there and I listened to him, and I kind of let him go on and on and on. And so I asked him when he was through, I said, so if I was in your plant or your facility and I walk out into your plant floor and I have a conversation with the people who are responsible for greasing the equipment, if I were to ask them, what kind of support have you been given? What kind of training have you been to over the last, you know, 1 to 2 years? What kind of procedures do you have in place? What would they tell me? And that guy got quiet really quick. So, yeah, it's easy. It was easy for him to kind of go off on talking about the skill level of the craft or the lubricators that were responsible for greasing that equipment. But in turn, you know, they haven't been supported. They haven't been trained. They haven't been educated. Yep. So that's a critical piece of it when it comes to the people, selecting the right people that will champion that program or champion that technology, and then just making sure that they have detailed instructions on how that tool is to be used.
So speaking of that, what should be in that procedure then, that detailed instruction?
Well, they need to understand, one, they need to have a basic knowledge of the equipment that they're going to, the machinery or the areas within the plant or facility. They need to have a good working knowledge of that equipment. So that helps them to understand, you know, again, how that equipment can fail, or knowing, you know, what sounds good or what sounds bad, what things should sound like and what things shouldn't sound like. And that's the beauty of ultrasound. You know, a lot of it initially is about comparison. So just by quickly doing a comparison, comparing the decibel level readings on, say, four identical motors, four identical pieces of equipment, you can pretty quickly get a handle as to what is good and what's bad, or what things should sound like and what things shouldn't sound like. So knowledge of the equipment. And then, again, just making sure that they're trained on the specific device that they're going to be using to make sure that they're interpreting the readings correctly. We like to call that inspector resolution and equipment resolution. You know, just because I have an ultrasound device, that doesn't make me a certified ultrasound inspector. It's just like an infrared camera. If I have an infrared camera, that doesn't make me an infrared thermographer. So just making sure that we're properly trained on, again, the science and theory of ultrasound in this case. And that helps us to understand, to make sure that we're using the equipment to get the best results out of it.
All right. Excellent.
This podcast is brought to you by Iridicio. Be sure to check out iridicio.com for a free copy of their ebook, A Smarter Way of Preventative Maintenance. This ebook will allow you to review your current maintenance program and eliminate the non-value-added work you're doing, which is most likely causing you more downtime than it is preventing. www.iridicio.com.
So within that procedure, do we talk about having set points and settings for the ultrasound equipment or condition monitoring equipment to make sure that when we take this reading this time, it's consistent with the methods before and the methods before that, and so on and so forth?
Yeah, that's a great point. So we want to try to make sure that we are getting repeatable, accurate readings every time we go out. So we have recently written procedures for airborne leak detection, airborne electrical, and then mechanical and lubrication. So we wrote those procedures in a way that we can share those with people who have our equipment or people who want to start an ultrasound program. And they're pretty much fill in the blanks. So, but in that procedure, it details out for the specific equipment the correct frequency setting, where we should be making contact. So if it's a bearing route, you know, we want to make sure that we're making contact in the right location where we get the best readings on our ultrasound instrument. So all that is detailed in the procedure, where to make contact, the correct frequency setting, even down to the point to where how do we actually store and record the data.
Oh, perfect. So it's covering all aspects, the setup, the measurement, the downloading and recording of data, so we're not missing anything with these procedures.
That's exactly right. Yep.
I think that's critical because you mentioned frequency. If we have the frequency set to 1 point, then we go to take another reading, which should be at a different point, but we don't change it. That's going to impact our reading and our data collection, correct?
That's exactly right. So if you take one reading at 40 kilohertz, and the next time you go out, you take the reading at 20 kilohertz, you're going to get different decibel level readings. So again, making sure that we always have it set for the same frequency, the exact same settings every single time.
Perfect. And you said these are available?
Sure. Yeah, we can share those out. I can provide those to you, James, and if anybody listening, we'll be glad to share those out with anyone. Again, that's for written procedures for airborne leak detection, airborne electrical, and structure-borne and lubrication bearing inspection.
Perfect. I'll make sure to point a link to your site so people can fill in the little box. I'm guessing they got to fill in to get them, and we'll go from there.
Yep.
Perfect. Now, what else should be in these procedures? Should we be documenting safety concerns? Should we be documenting what technologies, which unit, those sorts of things? Or is that going too granular?
Yeah, so again, with any type of route-based inspection, you always want to be aware of safety, even accessibility to the equipment. So, and that will help you to apply any type of special attachment or sensor. So if you have something behind a cage or a guard, that's just inaccessible with traditional route-based handheld data collection, that might require the use of a remote-mounted sensor that we can then plug into our UltraProbe or bring together to a junction box to where we can take multiple readings from one location. Certainly with safety when it comes to electrical inspection, that's really what's driving the use of ultrasound for airborne electrical inspection is the ability to scan without having to open up that panel or cabinet. So, but regardless, whether it's leak detection, steam, or bearing and mechanical, we always want to be aware of safety. And then you mentioned something, James, you know, talking about reporting and documentation. Again, making sure that we're documenting our findings, making sure that we're trending. That's become a big application with ultrasound as we go out and we collect all this data. Now, what do we do with that data? So having procedures in place that detail out exactly what kind of report that we want to get out of our ultrasound data. Yep. And that can help to aid in any kind of future failures that may happen or even root cause analysis events.
Perfect. So we're capturing all that stuff. We're making sure we document it. We can use it for, like you said, root cause analysis, comparing in the future, trending, if you will. I'm sure there's a machine learning piece or artificial intelligence piece somewhere in there that we can link to.
Yep.
What else about procedures did we not cover that you wanted to make sure we discussed on the use of procedures for this?
You know, in my visits with plants facilities, I mentioned the people part of it. And that's the biggest thing. You know, when you look at, you know, investing in the technology, you know, the training piece of it becomes very minimal. So when you're evaluating technology or when you're considering deploying a technology, go ahead and factor training into, you know, that budget. You know, again, it's very minimal, but it can have a tremendous effect on the results that you get out of the equipment. You know, so again, if you're going to invest several thousand dollars in an ultrasound device, you know, go ahead and make the small investment in the training and certification that to make sure that you're getting the best results out of it.
Yeah, absolutely. But I find some organizations are afraid if they train people, they're going to leave.
Well, if they're not trained and they stay, that can be just as bad.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more.
Yeah.
Well, Adrian, I want to thank you for talking to us about procedures today and the importance of them. Now, what is the one thing you want our listeners to take away from the conversation today?
You know, I want you to think about, you know, when you're at your respective plant or facility, think about the things I just said. You know, if you have doubts about the skill level of the craft or the people that are using your tool, in turn, think about, you know, well, what kind of training have they been to? Have they been properly supported? Do we have any procedures? How long has it been since those procedures have been evaluated or rewritten to be more valid for the skill level of the craft or to be more valid and align more closely with the organization's goals and objectives?
Excellent. Great, great words of wisdom there. Now, before we go, where can people find out more about these procedures, UE systems? What resources do you guys have that we can point people to?
Yeah, we have a tremendous amount of resources on our website. We have webinars, tutorials, We have some of our past Ultrasound World and Reliable Asset World presentations posted there, but it's just www.uesystems.com. And again, a lot of the resources that are there are available for access at no charge. We have product tutorials, software tutorials, and many types of presentations that are not specific to ultrasound, but other CBM technologies, even some maintenance and reliability concepts and best practices.
Excellent. So I'll make sure to put links to all those, including your LinkedIn profile, on the show notes. People can connect with you, learn more about UE Systems and all the great things you guys do.
Yep. Sounds good, James.
All right. Thank you, Adrian, for taking the time today. I appreciate it.
Yep. Thanks. Glad to be here.
I would like to thank you for listening and remind you that you can always find out more on maintenance, reliability, and asset management at www.iridicio.com and by following our blog. The Rooted in Reliability podcast is a proud member of the Reliability.fm network. I'd like to ask you to please rate and review this podcast on iTunes or Stitcher. It ensures the podcast stays relevant and is easy to find by like-minded professionals. It is only with your ratings and reviews that the Rooted in Reliability podcast can continue to grow. I thank you for providing this small but critical support. We'll see you next week when we dive into another burning topic with Rooted in Reliability, your plant performance podcast.